One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
It is the rainiest, gloomiest day ever, and the perfect day for me to record. So hi, how's everybody doing? It was birthday week, and I've been celebrating for going on 2 weeks now. So one more party on the 29th for Halloween, and October will be coming to a conclusion. Yay! I love October, guys. So, I wanted to do a quick episode and touch on some things I've been listening to and some things I've been watching because it's spooky season. Yay! So, I just finished watching The Sinner on Netflix, which I really like that show. It was good. Then I watched The Watcher. I'll never get that time of my life back. So I would suggest not watching it, but you do you. I was not impressed at all. Some people think it's super creepy. I was only creeped out maybe by the first episode, and then it just went downhill from there. So, sorry. And I just started watching American Horror Story again. So I'm trying to get a feel on that. And I just started watching the show called 28 Days Haunted. Not sure yet. Not sure. I'll let you know. Anyway, I just finished a podcast called Good Cult. That was really interesting and informative. And I just started one called Hoaxed. still trying to get a feel for that one too. So yeah. Anyway, happy almost Halloween. Let's start with some cryptids, shall we? Yeah, cryptids. Oh wait, I need to grab some coffee. Yay, coffee. I have my French press this morning because it's so early. It's before 10 o'clock here. Not early for some, I guess. I did wake up 3 hours ago, so yeah, there's that. Anyway, let's talk about cryptids. We're going to first talk about this cryptid called a Nindrin. And it has been declared, quote, the creepiest animal you've never heard of. I had never heard of it, so this was a treat for sure. My sources for this are Wikipedia, Cryptozoology, Cryptids.fandom.com, ThoughtCatalog.com, Exemplar.com. So much on cryptids. So let's start with this one. So what is it? A Nindrin is a cryptid that has been seen in the oceans of Antarctica and southern Asia. Mm-hmm. So when people see it, they say it's about 20 to 30 meters long, and it has very pale white skin. There's some people that say it looks like a seal or like a blubbery whale creature. It has a head, torso, and appendages that could look human sometimes. Let's see. There are some eyewitnesses who have said it looks like it has a mermaid tail rather than two hind legs. But there are others that say it has hands with five fingers and then tendril-like arms. So different people, different eyewitnesses say different things. The beasts have been seen in the Pacific, Antarctic, and Atlantic oceans, and always are describing it as it's very large and has very white, pale complexion. A lot of people have said it has huge eyes and a mouth-like slit on its face. So, yeah. Apparently, it is nocturnal, and it thrives in frigid, cold Arctic waters. So some of the initial reports said that this creature was only seen by sailors and mariners, and much like the beasts that were seen back in the day, it was just an urban legend. However, this little captivating creature seems to have gotten lots and lots of attention elsewhere. So, I'm going to say a few fun facts about the Nindrin. So, it originated in Japan because these Japanese fishing vessels began to see it and they would give their eyewitness accounts to others about it. Upon first sighting, members of a Japanese research ship thought that they were seeing a submarine in the distance, but when they got closer, they realized it was a living animal. Apparently, this scared them away, and the creature went back underwater. It is believed that this research ship did have documented footage of it, but that footage has never surfaced, and some people say that the Japanese government interfered and has the footage, or there's been so much cultural pressure associated with the fact that this is not a paranormal event. And so it's been kept hush-hush for quite some time. And Nindrin apparently means human in Japanese. So, yeah, do with that what you will. So we are going to talk a lot more about the Nindrin and sightings and whatnot. First, a sip of coffee. So that research ship, that happened in the early 2000s. I forgot to mention that. And like I said, the initial report was that they did see something, but it was a government vessel. So, yeah. There's a lot there that people feel is a conspiracy theory. And so, basically, they have pretty much tried to stop the rumors going around about it because the Japanese government is really maybe trying to cover it up. Maybe they feel that this isn't something the Japanese need to know about, or the rest of the world for that matter. And so one theory is the Minjin, whatever this creature is fully capable of producing rare chemical compounds that has medicinal properties. And it also can produce a highly venomous chemical compound, and the government intends to weaponize the creature. Again, these are all parts of the Minjin conspiracy theory, and it seems to go pretty deep. There's been a lot of questions about where are the photographs and where are the videos of the Minjin. But again, Japan is keeping it super hush-hush, so there's that. There's also been rumors and theories that it's an alien, and some of the eyewitnesses have had friends of friends of friends tell sources that they were visited by the Men in Black after seeing the Minjin, and, well, you know what that means. So, yeah, that's interesting right there. So there's some explanations. So based on the available evidence, some cryptozoologists have speculated that the Minjin may not be a living creature at all, and it actually may be blocks of ice put together that look like a creature. And so people see this, and then, oh, you know, they see it in the distance, and they think it's a living thing. You know how our brains go. Yeah. So that's one explanation. Another explanation is that the Minjin could be an albino manta ray, other type of ray, something like that, an albino whale or a beluga, because it has that same color. And there's other explanations that have gone so far as to suggest that it is an aquatic sloth or a mermaid or an alien or an aquatic human species. Dun, dun, dun. And no matter what, you know, there's some skeptics and they don't believe the creature is real. They just think that the Minjin is a modern day tale of old sea monsters, which also could make sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what is the Minjin? What is it? Well, from the sound of it, it could be anything. All of the theories point that this creature is just another interpretation of Japanese folklore, Japanese urban legends, and it is possible that it could be just nothing. It could be a giant monster that just lurks in the waters of the Antarctic. We will just have to wait and see, because you never know when it comes to these cryptids what they could be. So that is the short and sweet tale of the Minjin. So yeah, you can find a picture of that on Instagram, which I will post after the podcast goes up. Cool. Yay. Like I said, this episode is going to be short and sweet, but that's not the only story I have for you today. No. I have another story. And this story is about the Beast of Bray Road. And this comes from good old Wisconsin. This wasn't initially on my list of cryptids. In fact, as I was cleaning off my desk today, which was on my list of things to do, I think I threw away my list of cryptids. So, Google, my friend, helped me out in a jam, and here we are, the Beast of Bray Road. So I have three sources for this because there didn't seem to be too much information about it. Wikipedia, of course, standing strong for me, thoughtcatalog.com, and then milwaukeemag.com. So basically what I have for this are a few fun facts and then a few eyewitness encounters and quotes and stories from them. So most of this will be quotes from eyewitnesses. So the Beast of Bray Road is a Bigfoot-like creature. It has two legs. Some people say it looks like a bear. Other people say it looks like a wolf. It's very large, intelligent, and brownish gray. It is known to hang out on Bray Road, which is a country road in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. One local reporter, Linda Godfrey, was the first who covered this story, and she had tons and tons of eyewitness encounters, and then eventually she wrote a book about it, which is called The Beast of Bray Road, Tailing Wisconsin's Werewolf. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. She believes that the beast is real, but she's never, ever had firsthand experience with it, so she sought out eyewitnesses that are convinced that they saw it, and they've been in its presence. So, the beast goes all the way back to the very first settlers in Wisconsin, and there's stories about how they described it as a canine creature that would attack their campsite and then vanish without a trace. So, let's talk about eyewitness accounts. So this first eyewitness account looks like happened in 97 or 98, and this is what they said. Quote, I lived in the town of Franklin, Wisconsin. This was about 1997 or 98. We had just moved into a brand new subdivision, and we were currently the only house that was built. The rest of the area for a long distance was empty lots on what used to be adjoining farm's old land. Our backyard had a running creek. On the other side of the creek was some brush and a single lane road. There was a wooden street light that gave off an orange hue about 30 yards or so away. It was a warm summer night, and at a sleepover with one of my friends. We had the lights all off, and we were playing hide-and-seek in the dark. I went into our sunroom, and something crouched over through the bush in the orange street light. I'm not sure how to describe its body posture. You know when you're about to throw up and you hunch on your knees and your palms? It was similar to that. Its breaths were deep and heavy, and you could see its chest heaving from the distance. Yeah, crazy, right? I called out to one of my friends, and I was like, what the F is that? To me, oh no, he said that to me, and we were trying not to make too much noise. We sat there as it was hunched for a good 30 minutes. My dad came out to see what the hell we were doing up so late. When he asked what it was, we just said, I don't know. Then he went outside and he told us to stay in. He had one of those mega lights that he took with him. He stood in the driveway and shined it on whatever we were watching. It looked back at us, and I honestly don't remember its eye color. What I do remember is that it took off into the brush, and it took off upright, and it was about 6 feet tall, maybe taller, and it was on all fours. My dad heard it splash through the creek, and it was one of the most messed up moments in my life. End quote. Interesting. Right. All right, here's one more account. Quote, this took place in Cleburne, Texas, in October 2016, at around 1 a.m. My girlfriend and I were sitting outside on my dad's porch, smoking a cigarette. It was dark, pretty hard to see. I would also like to make note that my dad lived on about 300 acres of vacant land. So there were many wild animals that roamed at night, as well as cattle, so we were pretty used to seeing wild hogs, coyotes, raccoons, you name it. This didn't seem to be any of those things. There were no street lights, and the closest neighbor was about 2 football fields away. Then we noticed something creeping through the grass about 30 feet away from the porch. The movement reminded us of the coyote, but this was different. It seemed to be about 7 to 10 feet. Its body was pressed almost completely against the ground, and its head was turned away from this, almost as if it was stalking prey. Were we the prey? We got pretty freaked out, and we noticed, so we grabbed our cigarettes and cheese, but that's when things got freakier. This thing had been crawling toward a medium-sized tree, and as it passed behind the tree, it didn't reappear on the other side. Could it have climbed the tree or stood upright behind the tree, hiding, watching us. I did not stay around to find out. All I know is the footsteps stopped, so it wasn't running out of view. My girlfriend suggested we get the flashlight to try to scare it off, to which I responded, "Are you effing crazy? Let's go inside." After searching Wikipedia, I thought it might have been the beast of Bray Road or maybe a werewolf. End quote. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Yikes, that's all I can say. That story just gave me goosebumps. Ooh. So, a last fun fact about the beast of Bray Road is it actually might be a wild dog. And eyewitness accounts that have seen it are just, you know, these people are kind of hysteric and they don't really know what it is. And, you know, when we see something that scares us, what we generally tend to do, we run away. We don't run toward it. So being that people run away from it, it's not something that people really get pictures of or anything like that. So I don't know. What do you think? Is the beast of Bray Road real? People in Wisconsin, have you seen it? Tell me all about it. So, yeah, this is a short and sweet episode. I will do my best to get another one out before Halloween. If not, I hope you all have a very spooky Halloween. I would love to see pictures of your costumes or tell me ideas for your costumes. Yeah, the spookier, the better. What's my costume, you ask? Well, last night, I dressed up as the Red Queen with my own take on it. And then on next Saturday, I'm dressing like Stevie Nicks. And I'm super stoked. It's going to be great fun. And I just wanted to say hey to all my new listeners, you guys. Kick ass. Hey to Christine Donovan, Rich and Donovan, the Bookers, everybody. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has a wonderful end of their Sunday. If you are where I am, I hope you're getting snow. It's that time. It's coming. Winter's coming. Have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you guys very, very soon. Be sure to follow on Instagram, Lattes and Legends, Facebook, Lattes and Legends Podcast, and on Twitter. And bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.